Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and good morning. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal, and I'm here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcast on iTunes.
Good morning, Mark.
Morning, Francis.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. I had one of the most delicious dinners of my life. Last night.
Yeah, yeah. We had Paul Hobbs, the famous winemaker, came into the restaurant. We did a little winemaker dinner with him. I love those winemaker dinners where the winemaker comes and you meet the winemaker and the chef work together to make great food. Love that stuff.
You know, things have changed in the world a little bit, and where winemakers have kind of become the rock stars of today and chefs have become the rock stars of today. You know, I think it's really interesting how it's different. And, you know, we still have, you know, movie stars and rock stars are still obviously rock stars, but having chefs and restaurant owners and winemakers be kind of the, you know, coming into that same, you know, arena, I think is really interesting. And one of the reasons I think it's so interesting is because when you go to a baseball game or when you watch a movie or even go to a play, you don't really participate in what's going on the field of play, as it were.
Right.
But when you go out to dinner or you're having a bottle of wine or, you know, sitting in a restaurant and eating the food, it's much more participatory than those other types of events. So I think it's really interesting.
When you go see your favorite pitcher pitch, you don't catch the ball.
Once in a while, a foul ball. That's the best you can hope for.
But when you go to a restaurant, you eat the food.
You're in the field of play.
You're in the field of play. Excellent. This is as close to a sports analogy as I can get. Get it correct. You know, I think that I agree, but I think that there's a downside to chefs as celebrity, and I think as with any power that someone has, some chefs wear that well and do great things with it, and restaurateurs and winemakers like Paul Hobbs, who came with his mother and daughter last night.
It was really nice.
Talked with everybody.
I got to tell you, and he goes around the room and he makes sure that he addresses every single person in the room. Very, very comfortable, nice man.
But I think some people don't wear it well. I think Gordon Ramsay, for example.
I think we agree on that one for sure.
I mean, I just picked the most egregious example of a complete jerk.
Because you were trying to make me agree with you?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, some people don't wear it well. I mean, this man is so impressed with himself. And there's something a little bizarre about a society that can watch. I mean, I don't know if you all out there and listening to Atlanta know who Gordon Ramsay is. He's a famous British chef, and he had a television show called Hell's Kitchen. It was a reality show, and it was where we took some people who didn't know much about cooking. They weren't professional chefs. Put them in the kitchen to see.
Couple of them were professional chefs, but most of them were not.
And they're professional cooks more than professional
correct.
Chefs. To see who would come out on top. And Gordon Ramsay just became this screaming maniac who would, like, you know, yell at these people and humiliate them and smash stuff. And, you know, that's a caricature or an image of what this crazy screaming chef used to be.
Mm-hmm.
But Gordon Ramsay does have some amazing restaurants. He has a Michelin 3-star restaurant in London. But my point is, he is treated with that level of deference. And I don't understand why people don't say, I'm not eating in this jerk's restaurant.
I agree with that.
You know.
But at the same time, you have, I think the celebrity chef has also shown people, look, you can be a celebrity chef and still be a nice guy and still be a teacher and still try and communicate your goals and your values and your ideals and be great at this without necessarily berating people and being this nasty human being.
Well, and let's also talk about pretenders to the throne. I mean, I think there are chefs who have a great name who are putting their name on products that are, you know, just, you know, canned tomato sauce. That's canned tomato sauce. You know what I mean? You can have the chef's picture on it if you want, but it's still canned tomato sauce. And there's nothing particularly special about it, which is not to say that there aren't chefs that are out there trying to bring products to market. But, I mean, I hate to bring out our favorite whipping boy, but the flavor spray. David Burke. I mean, the man has put his name. He is a celebrity chef, and he's using his celebrity to sell you
right
a spray bottle of disgusting fake flavor.
To sell you something fake. He's using it. You know, and I guess I see now where I make the difference. If a chef is using his name to sell you something better, and what he's doing in that instance is using his name, which is his trademark, to show you the pathway to a better roasting pan or a better tomato or whatever the case may be, some better ingredient or method of doing something. I don't really have a problem with that.
Let's look at an example of something on the other side. I pointed to David Burke's flavor spray as an example of something that you should buy some only to be able to make fun of David Burke in your house.
That's what we did.
Because his picture is on the bottle. I can't believe he allowed that to happen. Because I'm not saying David Burke isn't a talented
you
chef.
You were going to say David Jerk.
No, I was not. That was a slip of the tongue. But because he can cook great food, and he has a certain amount of celebrity. But when he uses a celebrity to sell you something like flavor spray, which is a gimmick, it's hokey and it's terrible.
It's a bad gimmick.
That's one thing. Now, let's go to Mario Batali.
Mm-hmm.
Mario Batali has a line of cookware. Okay, well, that sounds kind of hokey, right? Except that I was in the store and I was looking at Mario's line of cookware. He has a panini press and he has a bunch of different... It's darn good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, thick pots and pans that, you know, are evenly distribute heat and are very durable. And if you look at, you know, my sister, who doesn't know a lot and doesn't care a lot of it, she's an okay cook, you know, she cooks for her family. She asks me, you know, well, what kind of pan should I buy? Because I would cook Thanksgiving dinner at her house and we have these thin little pans that burn everything. Well, she says, you know, I trust Mario Batali, and his name is on this. I want to buy something nice, and I buy that, and she gets herself a good pan.
You know, but you just used the key word there, and I think it's trust. Okay, do I trust you as my chef? And I mean that not as a restaurant owner, but as a diner.
Right.
Do I trust you as my chef? Do I trust that the things you're telling me, that you're not trying to get over on me? Because we know chefs out there in the world who the goal is to get over on the customer rather than to show them something new and interesting and exciting.
It's to capitalize on the name as much as possible, and I think you couldn't have two more clear examples than Mario Batali's line of very good cookware,
mm-hmm.
and David Burke's flavor spray nonsense. You know, that's just what it's all about. It's, you know, it's like do you want to use it's this, with celebrity comes power. You know, and I care, and you care, and all you out there, and if you're listening to the show, you care about what the new status of food and cuisine, what that has to do with our society, and there are important things and important decisions that we make in how we eat and how we source our food and who we support. And, you know, I think when people abuse that celebrity status, they lead people the wrong way, and they really it impugns the rest of us.
That's what they're doing, is abusing that status, and it does indeed impugn the rest of us. I think that having had David Burke's flavor spray, I would be less likely to buy Mario Batali's very good pasta.
Because you say, oh, this is all a bunch of bunk, it's just a celebrity.
Exactly.
I'm not doing that anymore. Anyway, when we come back, we're going to be talking with Antoinette Bruno from StarChefs.com and our chef Anthony Bucco, our executive chef from Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants, about their experiences at Madrid Fusion, one of the best culinary conferences in the world. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:15. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurant. Here with Mark Pascal, the Restaurant Guys. Today, welcome two guests, which is a little unusual for us. We have with us in studio our executive chef, Anthony Bucco. Welcome to the show, Anthony.
Thank you, Francis.
And on the line, we have Antoinette Bruno, who's been on the show before. She's one of our favorite guests from the food website StarChefs.com.
Antoinette, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Nice to be back.
Well, we have you on specifically because Chef went off to the same conference you did in Madrid called Madrid Fusion, right? You were there?
Yes.
Now, let's throw this out to you, Antoinette. Contextualize this for us. Why Madrid and what's Madrid Fusion?
Okay. Madrid Fusion is an annual chef congress that's actually just had its fifth year. It wasn't the first. There was a... I guess the first conference by a lot of people would be the Lo Mejor de la Gastronomía, which is in San Sebastian, and I think that's in its seventh year. And Madrid Fusion is probably the most prestigious. It's the most showy. It's certainly one of the most special international conferences that one can attend as a chef.
Well, but hold on a second. I thought all those were held in France.
If chef conferences, nah. No, Spain is where the chef conferences are. I mean, there are two new conferences in France.
That was a lob, Antoinette. I was getting But no, but let's talk to us about the preeminence of or how Spain's position in the culinary world is changing. You know, because I think a lot of people have France had traditionally been the center of gastronomy in the world, and Spain's really giving France a run for its money.
And I think specifically, you need to talk about why we call this Madrid Fusion.
Yeah.
Why you call it Madrid Fusion? Well, actually, that's a good question. I think you know they've basically said, okay, let's make Madrid the restaurant capital of the world. And the Spanish government and the Madrid government and city government have all gotten together and they've put their money behind making this a preeminent chef show. And they've astutely recognized that Spanish chefs are the most prestigious chefs in the world right now, and that what has been happening in Spain over the last 10 years has certainly revolutionized food. Ferran actually started out the Madrid Fusion this time with this quote, and I think it sort of set the tone, and it actually explains sort of where Spain is and where Spanish chefs are in the lineup of chefs all over the world. And he said it's not Escoffier's food anymore, that the last 20 years, the new techniques that have come about that chefs are using, specifically that he's been using, mm-hmm. he and Arsac, have completely revolutionized where we are today with food. And that was the first thing he said when he got on the stage. And then he went on to say that there will be no more progress, and there can't be any more progress without the basic components, the basic and a much better understanding of our product, mm-hmm. of the actual ingredients. And then he threw in there and a little more humility.
You know, I think that's an interesting point, and I think this is going to be a lot of our discussion. In Spain, especially, there's the avant-garde cuisine, the cuisine where they're taking food and totally reinventing it by making it into powders and gels and aromas and smoking things. And chef, let me ask you, because I look at this stuff and I see two different things coming out of this conference. And you attended a lot of the seminar.
Yeah.
I see that a lot of attention is paid to these totally new techniques, but I also hear them talking about how we have to pay complete attention.
We really need to understand what the ingredients are. We really need to understand from where they come, and that to me, those look like two basically different viewpoints.
It's talking about the simplicity of the ingredient and the purity of the ingredient. How was that reconciled in this cuisine that changes things so radically but is so concerned that things be so pure, chef?
Well, the one overwhelming theme throughout the whole Congress was the fact that the importance of the ingredients is what makes cooking today special. And what I saw was a lot of different interpretations of the ingredients, whether it was through science, whether it was through simplicity, a variety of different ways of preparing cuisine and getting it to the customer. But the one overwhelming theme there that I find with the Spanish chefs is they're really focused on the chemistry of cooking and the molecular gastronomy. Where a lot of the other chefs, they had some really traditional chefs from China. The American, the chef Dan Barber did a great job, again, focusing on simplicity. And his technology was more in terms of how to create great ingredients on a farm, in terms of how do we farm products, how do we raise animals for slaughter, so on and so forth, and less about changing the texture of something or manipulating,
Antoinette, let me throw this over to you. We'll come back after we'll have about a minute to deal with it. But is it that important that an ingredient be so pure if you're going to change it so radically?
Well, according to Ferran, yes, and I actually would agree with him. If you don't start with a great product, then you will never have anything better. I mean, if you start with a mediocre product, you're going to end up with a mediocre product on the plate. But I think really what you saw here is because this was the fifth year and not the first year, a few years ago when I went, you had chemicals. And last year, it was all about machines. And this year, it really was all about the product. I mean, every single presentation, whether they threw some science and technology in there, that every single solitary presentation was about the product, because that's where we are. I think, you know, we've had this influence of Spain, we've had this influence of technology, and I think, you know, this fifth Madrid Fusion was, well, wait a second, where are we?
Well, I think what may be happening here is you may be seeing this movement, which is this molecular gastronomy movement, maybe moving back a little bit closer to the center and being less about the show and more about what actually happens on the plate.
When we come back, we're going to talk about sourcing product and talking about sourcing product and also about an article Frank Bruni wrote in the New York Times just today. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:25.
Let me talk to you about lighting, and specifically about how you can enhance the appeal of any space. Lighting is a powerful, emotional, and aesthetic force. It's one of the most important elements of design. More than anything else, it sets the mood and tone for an entire experience. A room pops or it doesn't, based on lighting. Lights on 9 is a top-notch commercial and retail lighting supplier. Lights on 9 supplied all the lights for our award-winning Catherine Lombardi restaurant, inside and out, dining room and kitchen. Lights on 9 has everything from tasteful and stylish chandeliers to table and floor lamps to outdoor lighting for illuminating a building or walkway or a sign. At Lights on 9, the service is exemplary, expert, and knowledgeable. They ship anywhere in the continental United States for free. Their retail store is in the Galleria Shopping Center on Route 9 in Manalapan. They're open 7 days a week. Call them at 732-308-9166. That's 732-308-9166. Or visit them at lightson9.com. That's lightson9.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurant. We're having a panel discussion here today with our executive chef, Anthony Bucco, and with Antoinette Bruno from StarChefs.com, and we're talking about Madrid Fusion, which is one of the most important culinary conferences in the world, from which Chef and Antoinette both just returned. Now, we were talking about how in this conference and in the world, ingredients, going back to real ingredients, as corporate agribusiness compromises, you know, most ingredients. You go for a pig from a farm that you know what farm it came from and how it was raised so that you're sure it doesn't have antibiotics in it, and that's how you get a very flavorful pig, and that's what we're obsessed about. But I want to, and I'll throw this out to you, Antoinette, because you're in the press. Frank Bruni today in the New York Times wrote an article, You May Kiss the Chef's Napkin Ring, where he basically vented on everything that's frustrated him in the last couple of years of reviewing restaurants. I'm sure you've seen it, right?
Yes, I saw it.
But one of the things he vented about was he was mocking restaurants where it's crucial that you appreciate fully each dish comes with a disquisition on its origin and proper consumption. For example, chef got the eggs from an old lady with cataracts upstate. Chef foraged for the mushrooms in a thicket near the Tappan Zee. And we do hear this a lot in dining rooms, people saying where the food came from, where each ingredient came from.
But where the ingredients come from is so important.
Oh, I love you.
I mean, it is so, so, so important. I mean, one of the most impressive things that Madrid Fusion, I must say, was Dan Barber's presentation. I mean, he not only talked about, you know, why, where the farm was, you know, that the animal came from, but then how he actually compared, you know, his project, his farm, with the farm next door, and how, you know, one set of cows, you know, stood, you know, standing in a pasture, and they didn't, you know, get to move along the pasture, and that how he rotated his cows from one end of the farm to the other end of the farm because the grass, you know, had to grow so many inches before it could be eaten again, or because it had less minerals and less vitamins for both the cows and the lambs and the other. And then he talked about how the chickens had to come and they had to eat the poop so that the poop wouldn't, you know, burn the soil.
We don't really mention that table side in the dining room. we know what happens, but we don't really talk about it.
Anthony mentioned when he came back that was his favorite segment of the conference as well.
When we come back, we're going to talk more about what's happening in fine dining restaurants and why waiters the way they do, and the difference between the really good restaurants and the well pretenders to the throne, with Antoinette Bruno of StarChefs.com and our own chef, Anthony Bucco, executive chef of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurant. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:30.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey, 1450. WCTC with The Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal, and I'm here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcasts on iTunes.
Today, our guests are Executive Chef Anthony Bucco of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants, along with Antoinette Bruno, who is the editor and owner of starchefs.com, one of our favorite culinary websites, which you can link to through our site, restaurantguysradio.com. And we were talking about a range of topics having to do with where food and fine dining restaurants is internationally today. Both Chef and Antoinette attended recently a sort of a week-long conference called Madrid Fusion in Madrid, which is maybe the foremost culinary conference in the world right now. We talked before the news about the January 24th article in the New York Times by Frank Bruni, which sort of spoke about how sometimes, you know, when you go to a restaurant today, the waiter will tell you about the provenance of each of the things. You know, this is a pear from this farm, or this is, you know, the lamb comes from that farm.
He's talking, this whole article is about the theater of dining.
Yes.
He is doing a diatribe on why he doesn't want theater and dining, but the problem is that people dine out for three reasons, and I think somehow Frank Bruni has missed this. And I love this article, but I have a completely opposite point of view. I mean, the person eats to either, you know, because they need fuel, they eat because they need want entertainment, or they eat because they actually love dining. I mean, are there any other reasons why somebody eats?
I can't think of any.
Well, and what I don't understand about the article and what disturbed me about it was that he's writing an article about how we've made these people kings, but he's one of the kingmakers.
Well,
that's what I don't understand.
Were you on your way to a further point there about the three reasons people eat?
Well, I'm just saying that 30% of probably higher than 30%, it's probably 50% of people who dine out today dine out for entertainment. They dine out for all of these things he's basically saying are horrible.
Well, one of the things that I think that about this article in particular, where Frank Bruni talks about ingredients, is there are parts of the entertainment that certain tables don't want, and I think that a gracious waiter and a gracious host has to say, look, these guys are in a business meeting. They don't want to hear any of this. I got to tone it down a little bit, and these guys
sure
want something different. And that's part of being a gracious host. But he even has written in the past about how, why do we need to see on a menu where all these different ingredients come from? And I think, Chef, what you said before, and Antoinette, what you said, look, for the chef to go out and buy those kinds of ingredients, it is a lot of work. It is expensive. And that's going to be reflected in the price of the dish. And it's also, you want to know what it is that you're eating, and we want to support those
farmers. Educating their diner, and that's a great thing.
Well, and it's also, you know, there are people out there who are just using a plain old, you know, farmed salmon, and people who are using, you know, Copper River wild salmon. And as a diner, you want to know the difference.
And
that's why farmers markets all across the country are thriving, because people have been educated by chefs, and they are out there going to try to get the same produce because they want to have it in their own kitchen.
And they are getting it, okay, and they're seeing it, and people are seeing the difference in quality at these farmers markets. They're seeing the difference from Guatemalan strawberries to the strawberries that come from the little farm down the road. They see it on their plate. They see it in their homes. They're seeing it at these farmers markets.
Let me throw out, actually, to you, Chef, a question sort of based on something that Antoinette, you wrote on starchefs.com about Madrid Fusion Conference. We talk about, I think this is from you, day two began with a chef named Danny Garcia of Calima in Spain, who spoke about creating dishes that are completely pure and true to their ingredients. With one dish, he offered an homage to olive oil, playing with the euphemism of olive oil as liquid gold. He transformed olive oil into dense, creamy ingots with the help of gold dust, an icy whipper, and liquid nitrogen and a Paco jet. How can something that's been transformed into dense, creamy ingots with gold dust and liquid nitrogen and a Paco jet be completely pure and true to its ingredients? sounds like George Jetson. Chef, what's your take on that?
Well, you know,
it was quite a display, I must admit. I mean, the whole thing, I mean, he started with this pure, fresh olive oil, and, you know, he sort of made ice cream out of it in the Paco jet, and he actually, first he put it in the EC foamer, and then he put it in liquid nitrogen, then he put it in the Paco jet, then he put it in these to form the ingots, to form the gold bars, and then he rolled it in gold dust. I mean, it was a beautiful...
So, but chef, let me ask you.
It was fun and entertaining to watch, but
Does it go too far sometimes? Is there a certain amount of a bunk to like saying, oh, it got to be totally pure and true to the ingredients, but I'm going to do all these manipulations of it?
I think there's definitely a place in this industry for guys who push the envelope. Danny Garcia is a great chef. I think what he's doing there is quite interesting. But I think what he's doing there is unique to that restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
I look at this whole movement, and there are a lot of things that chefs pull out of these conferences and these conventions, and you see some of these great techniques. They're interesting. They're awesome to watch. But a lot of them aren't very practical on a day-in, day-out basis in a restaurant unless you have a chemist on your staff. I mean, there's a lot to this.
Arsac talked about that. He talked about not being able to have the knowledge himself and surrounding himself with resources of people that had the knowledge.
But it's not just that. It's do we want to eat this way on a regular basis? And my answer...
Oh, I don't think you want to eat gold ingots on a regular basis.
And my answer to you is, you know, I enjoy going to an amusement park, but I don't want to ride the roller coaster to work every day.
No, and I agree with that. But when you want to go out for a special meal, would you like to be entertained with this special and exciting dish?
I'm going to say usually not.
Yeah, I have to say.
I don't know. A person from my editorial staff, Heather Sperling, went to actually Danny Garcia's restaurant in Andalusia last summer. And she said it was one of the most phenomenal meals she's ever had.
I mean, we've been, of course, to Willie Dufresne's restaurant in New York, WD50. I've been to a couple of the restaurants in Madrid who are with direct disciples of Ferran Adrià, who's the preeminent practitioner of this type of cuisine. And it is amazing, but it's something I want to do twice a year.
On
you know,
a special occasion.
Well, yeah, and when I'm up for it, not even on.
Like, right, I got to be ready. I got to be in the right frame
of
mind.
Sure.
I got to be.
It's not your fuel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, but also.
Remember those three categories?
Yeah. Yeah, but when I want to go, most of the time, even when I go, I want to be entertained. I want to be able to recognize my food or have it be based in, even if it's based in another tradition that's not my own and I'm being introduced to it. I don't need it foamed, frozen, formed into solid in gold.
I guess my bigger problem is not recognizing it, because I always want to try new things. I always want to try interesting things. But what's happening, and I think one of the issues with this movement is when it goes awry, you're dead.
Woo.
Okay, you've just the ship has sunk. You're at the bottom of the ocean.
Did you see the Time magazine article about Madrid Fusion?
No, what did it say?
It just came out on Friday, and I wish I had the title handy. The title was really great, and you know, basically the whole article was written by a writer named Lisa, and she said, you know, have we gone too far with food, or you know, where are we, or you know, where is food today? It was an interesting piece.
And was her opinion, yes, we had?
Well, I actually am quoted in the article, and I said, you know, it was chemicals, you know, a few years ago, it was machines last year, and this year we're back to the product. And
when we come back, I want to talk about the product, and I want to talk about, and one of the things that I really do think is great in a movement in cuisine in America, really, that's a new thing, but the idea of looking to unusual parts of ingredients, like in the tomatoes, looking at the seeds, and the citrus, looking at the pith, in the mackerel, looking at the belly, and in parts of ingredients that maybe we in America have had the luxury overlooked, and there's been a lot of concentration
head
on
to
that.
Tail.
Head to tail, head to
the murder to the tutor.
We had a barbecue lady on once who made what was that snoot? Was she?
She made snoot. Absolutely.
And she would say, "We use the whole pig from the rooter to the tutor." And we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 14:50. The time is 11:45.
The place, Brooklyn, New York, post World War II. An Italian American woman named Catherine Lombardi cooks for her family. What's so special about that? Well, lots. Food was central back then. Good food handed down from the traditions of two countries. Food that filled the whole house with the sweet smells of garlic, tomato, and basil. No matter when you stopped by or who you were sure to be fed and fussed over. Catherine showed her love on the plate and out of the pot. Any who were lucky enough to receive it never forgot. This is Mark Pascal from the Restaurant Guys Radio Show and Stage Left. I've just opened Kathleen Lombardi Restaurant in New Brunswick, and its mission, to live up to the standards set by Kathleen Lombardi. So come by the bar, sit by the fire. Have some fresh mozzarella and antipasto. The matagat and tortelloni are amazing, and the veal chop will make you cry. Our wine list, of course, without parallel. We've got to live up to the standards set by Kathleen Lombardi. You see, Kathleen Lombardi was my grandmother. Come let me show you where I came from.
Kathleen Lombardi Restaurant in New Brunswick, 732-296-9463 or KatherineLombardi.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Kathleen Lombardi Restaurants. Joining us today is our executive chef, Anthony Bucco. Also joining us is Antoinette Bruno from StarChefs.com. We're talking about probably the preeminent culinary conference in the world that both of those guys were just at in Madrid. And I want to talk about in the talk that Ferran Adrià of the restaurant El Bulli, probably certainly the world's preeminent practitioner of avant-garde cuisine or molecular gastronomy, and one of the most important chefs in the world, certainly the hardest reservation to get at a restaurant in the world is at El Bulli. And he talked about ingredients. And one of the things that he talked about was using often discarded parts of products, finding concentrated flavor in, and we have some examples here, tomato and melon seeds, citrus pith, mackerel belly, hair ears, the ears of hares. Not hair in your ears, but sorry, this joke is somewhere.
Much better than the hairs than the hairs of ears.
H-A-R-E, the ears. But we see this a lot. I mean, and we've seen ingredients that we use more and more, like, you know, beef cheeks and pork belly, things that as America, because we've always been so wealthy and had such an abundance of food, you know, we haven't had to use the whole animal philosophy.
Right, the things
before.
We fed to the dog.
But, you know, Mario Batali is a big proponent of this in New York, and we're doing a lot of whole hog stuff, especially now that we have two restaurants and some of the cuts are appropriate for one restaurant and the other cuts are appropriate for the other kind of cuisine. Anthony, let me ask you, how important is this movement and how much was it represented at this conference to use these not often thought of parts of the animal, parts of the plant?
Well, I think, in general, I think European cuisine, whether it's Spanish, Italian, French, they tend to use more of the whole animal in terms of bringing that to the plate. You know, there's a lot of little villages, things of that nature. In the States, we don't ordinarily use this stuff, obviously, but I think it's very important moving forward. I mean, we just had a great dinner at Picholine. You know, I mean, utilizing game birds, kind of not all on the same subject there, but something that's different.
The parts of the animals.
Yeah,
I mean,
parts of the animals.
You put pork belly on the menu, and it's gone over really well. Antoinette, do you think that the American public is more accepting of unusual parts or parts that we think of as unusual in America?
I think they're becoming more accepting. And I think what we're talking about is sustainability, and we're talking about responsible cooking. We shouldn't be throwing away the seeds of the tomato. We shouldn't be throwing away, you know, the snouts, the tail, the hooves. They're actually delicacies in many parts of the world, and we need to introduce them to our diet. They actually taste good. You did see many people at Madrid Fusion use all different parts of things that chefs in America wouldn't even consider using. I mean, chefs are getting more exposed to it themselves. At our International Chef Congress, Anthony Bourdain actually moderated a panel called Awful.
O-F-F-A-L, not yes. A-W-F-U-L.
Exactly. Right. And
although Anthony could probably moderate that panel as well.
Yeah. And so what was the panel like? What was discussed?
Fergus Henderson was on the panel from St. John Restaurant in the U.K., and Chris Constantino from Il Cantu in San Francisco. And they talked about using all parts of the animal. And it's not just the animal. It is the vegetable. It's the fish. It's the shrimp heads. It's really everything we use. And it is about being sustainable and sustainable agriculture and sustainable fishing and being a sustainable chef and being a responsible chef and being responsible in one's cooking.
It's not just that. You're also a lot of your flavor is going into the garbage can.
Totally.
I mean, we've been doing that for years in this country.
Well, but here's where I think a conference like Madrid Fusion is amazing, and I would love to have been able to take part in this, but somebody had to run the restaurant while Anthony's jetting around the world. but where I think it's very interesting is this is where the talent of a great chef comes in, because your average chef at home is not going to be able to get great flavor out of the pith of the orange. However, when a great chef can use that and get a wonderful bitterness that they work into a dish, or to use some of the ears of the hair, you know, how do we get that into a dish and utilize that flavor? Because the most important thing, especially in high-end restaurants, is to make it tasty and delicious and wonderful. And that is where technique, I think, is really, you know, very important. Did you see a lot of techniques being demonstrated for stuff like this at the conference, Anthony?
Yeah, there was
definitely.
There were a lot of cool little presentations on how to transform some of these ingredients to make them table ready.
And
actually, one great example. I don't know if you caught it, but they did sea urchin, and they did the inside and the outside. They had the it was a Chinese chef, and it was Juan Roca.
Yes,
it was
one used the inside and one used the outside. And actually, sea urchin. Well, they called it sea cucumber.
The cucumber, yeah.
I thought that was kind of a.
It was interesting. Yeah, it wasn't the most attractive.
I think Anthony's going to stick to using the inside on that particular one.
I mean, I think it was the chef, by the way, was Zhen Ziang Dong of Da Dong in China. And I think that's the interesting thing about this. While it was held in Madrid, it wasn't about Spanish food, though it was certainly hosted by the Spanish. It was about food in general.
And it certainly wasn't about your Chinese accent, for sure.
By the way, I've done better than you would have done, Jersey boy. I think the point is that we're in a very exciting time as far as food is concerned, nationally and internationally, and I think it's great that you, Antoinette, are covering it and provide such great coverage of it on your website, starchefs.com. And, Chef, I think it's great that you took the initiative to go out there as well. I want to thank you both for talking with us, and Antoinette, thanks for taking the time, and we'll refer people to your site so they can learn more about cool stuff like this.
And remember, in September, Star Chefs is doing its own chef conference, and we're bringing a lot of these chefs and even more exciting chefs to New York.
And chefs like Anthony Bucco will be there.
Yes, definitely. This year.
and in August, Antoinette, we'll have you back on, and we'll talk about that very thing before it happens.
Fabulous.
Thanks a lot.
We'll be back in just a moment talking a little bit more about the state of cuisine today with our own chef, Anthony Bucco. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:55. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis, stage left, and Catherine Lombardi. We were talking before about ingredients overall and how we're paying attention to ingredients in great restaurants, and I think you are at home, too, in ways that we hadn't before. Now, Anthony, last night we did a wine dinner with a very famous winemaker, a guy named Paul Hobbs, and it was a great success. But I noticed, and I want to just point out as an example, on one plate, on the dessert plate, you used honey, for example. Yeah. Now, normally, 15 years ago, you said, oh, and that's with honey, right? but you used a...
And it came out of the belly of a bear.
Right. So, but you used a very specific honey, a red bee honey from this local honey producer who produces in the Northeast. And you used three different kinds of honey. Tell us about those ingredients.
Plate.
Tell us about those ingredients and how different they are and how maybe you look at that differently than you would have 15 years ago.
Well, again, I think, not to go back to the Madrid Fusion event, but the one thing that we took from that was that you could change food. You could take one item and give four or five different looks at it by changing the textures. But the way that we cook at Stage Left, and I think a lot of the ways that the new American style of restaurants have gone, is you take an ingredient and you can give different looks of that ingredient, you know, on one plate. We took an orange blossom honey, and we made an ice cream with it. We took blueberry blossom honey, and we made a little caramel with it. We also took goldenrod honey and used it as a sauce on the plate. And we incorporated these three different honeys into one dessert, as opposed to changing textures
So the idea is to take a honey that is made, and when we say a blossom honey, that's the bees pollinate
that kind of
blossom.
Particular,
and it affects the flavor of the honey from the same producer.
Exactly.
And so we did look at, on one plate, you know, these subtle differences in ingredients that really, I mean, your technique was great on the way you constructed those three things, but we also pointed out to our guests, you know, three different kinds of honey on the plate. It was fascinating.
And the idea there was to showcase those particular ingredients as opposed to necessarily turning those ingredients into something else. You want to show the true depth of each of those ingredients.
Wish we had another hour to keep talking about it. Hope you enjoyed the hour that we did. I'm Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We are The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 12 noon.